Whenever death comes, however long expected or unexpected, and especially so in the case of a loved one, it brings a very difficult mixture of sorrow and pain, and a deep yearning in us not to let death have the last word, especially when a loved one is a beloved husband, father, brother, friend, colleague, fellow pilgrim with us on the journey we call faith, and much more than that as well. And so in the face of death, we vow, that is, we promise to celebrate Roger's life. And our celebration this afternoon will be just that. It will be a celebration of Roger's life. And yet, admittedly, in the face of death, we can never, ever erase the events of that afternoon on Sunday, October 19. There is nothing I can say this afternoon, and there is nothing you can say that will change what has happened. However, and this is a huge however. However, there is a word that can change us even in death. It is a word that belongs to God. And we find it this afternoon on the lips of the Apostle St. Paul, writing his second letter to the faithful at Corinth. The Apostle Paul writes, "So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." Here is a promise. We look not at what can be seen, what is temporary, but rather at what cannot be seen. We look at what is eternal. Here is a promise that changes us. It changes everything. People of faith, like those who are gathered here this afternoon, we look with the eyes of faith. When others can only see death, people of faith can also see life. People of faith can see beyond who Roger was and are able to see with the eyes of faith whose Roger was. Whose Roger was is and ever shall be. It is with this promise in mind and these words of hope that we have reason to be joyful today in the face of death. We will celebrate Roger's life and everything that was good about his life. His love for you, Arletta. His love for your family, for Brita, and Nick, who joined that family, and now Luciana. We will celebrate all of that. And with you, Kathleen, you know that special bond between a brother and a sister. And for all of Roger's extended family, and for all of those in the faith community here at Queen Anne Lutheran, and for all of those for whom Roger was a friend and a colleague, in the face of death, we will celebrate. We will celebrate his life, all he loved and all who loved him, and especially the one who loved him the most, his Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is in Christ Jesus the people of faith are able to see the eternal through the veil of tears. What was visible to all of us was his love for you, Arletta. That just goes without saying. And I'm thinking back to the Monday morning after Roger's death. I'm sitting there in the living room with you, and Dolly Smith is there, having brought a trunk load of food and I mean, she didn't forget anything, napkins, paper, plates, even window wipes. We're sitting there and you're telling us of what you're gonna miss about Roger. And I remember the first thing you said was, I'm gonna miss Roger because he took care of me. And indeed he did. He did indeed take care of you. He took care of you in so many ways. He was your confidant, your counsel, and the way he supported you professionally. He was your go-to guy, whether it was setting up last-minute things for a fine arts celebration, or whether it was lugging those impossible handbell tables down to the basement. Many a time, Roger told me that he gave a prayer of thanksgiving for the elevator. The two of you were a team. You were more than partners. You were lovers in the way that only long-time married couples know. And then there was Roger's joy at the birth of a granddaughter. Everyone who saw him could see the joy on his face. I was thinking about that the other day when I was in my office, and I thought to myself, you know, I am certain that Roger would have given his granddaughter, Luciana, an entire library of books. And he would have been so happy. Roger loved books. I don't have enough fingers or toes to count the many times Roger showed up in my office with a book that he thought the library needed here at Queen Anne Lutheran Church. And I looked at the book and I thought, good night, Roger, outside of you and maybe the next pastor, nobody else is going to read this book. I couldn't ever say no to him, though. He not only loved books, but he loved scholarship and research. He loved libraries. The way I would talk about movies, he talked about libraries. His commitments and his contribution to this faith community when it came to faith formation was unprecedented. For years, he coordinated our forum, he served as the chair of our education committee, and everyone from Sunday school children through adults were blessed by the ministry that he provided to this congregation. And then there was Roger's passionate commitment to social justice. He would have rivaled any of the biblical prophets. And often there was a Sunday morning when I thought for sure he was channeling Amos or Isaiah, one of the two. Good night. And he wasn't afraid to challenge anyone whose opinion was different. Oftentimes, Roger and I disagreed on a particular theological matter. I will miss those conversations. He was skilled in what he thought and what he spoke, and he was as much a challenge to me as I was a challenge to him. So I'm not surprised that the selection of the parable of the Good Samaritan was chosen for his service today. It is a fitting remembrance of Roger's care and concern for the outsider. As humans, we try to lighten the conversation after the death of someone. We take something serious and we begin to make light of it because it's one of the ways that we have to deal with something we can't understand. Such was the case happening here in the faith community yesterday. Roger's death created what has become known here at Queen Anne Lutheran Church as the coffee crisis. Those of you outside circles of Lutheranism probably don't realize that coffee is the third sacrament. One of the first things Roger did every Sunday morning, he and Arletta, they showed up at 7 o'clock Sunday mornings. He would immediately go into the Narthex kitchen and start to make coffee. If no one here at Queen Anne Lutheran Church ever attended one of his forums, or set foot in a class he taught, or ushered with him, they still knew Roger. He was Mr. Coffee. And he held court every Sunday morning in the Narthex kitchen with the faithful who attended the 8 o'clock service. The conversations usually had something to do with one of Roger's other interests, and that was Seattle sports teams. The M's, the Hawks, the Huskies. We cried together, we laughed together, and we swore together. I imagine for many of the faithful here, Roger will be in their thoughts when they come through the doors into the Narthex and they don't see him across the Narthex counter serving coffee. All of you have memories of Roger, and they are the memories that you will treasure now and for years to come. They are times, I'm sure, like mine and like his family, times of joy and times of tears, times of laughter and times of sorrow. And what makes those times so wonderful as we remember them is that Roger was there. He was present. He was being himself as a husband, a father, a brother, a friend, a colleague, a fellow pilgrim with us here. And every one of us, our lives are different for having known Roger. And our lives are more abundant and richer for having known him. For having been the recipients of his love and care and kindness, of his wit and his humor. And as precious and treasured as our memories are, we have something else. We have a promise. God's promise in those words from the Apostle St. Paul in that second letter of his to the Corinthians. We not only see what is temporary and passing away, but we, the people of faith, like Roger, can also see what is eternal. And that is, Roger was not only a husband and a father, a friend and a colleague. Roger was first and foremost a child of God. It was right to begin our celebration this afternoon of Roger's life at the font of baptism. For it was there in the waters of holy baptism God made Roger God's own child, and the eternal was given to him. For it was there in the waters that the Holy Spirit entered Roger. The eternal entered him, like a seed to be planted, and was often cultivated and nourished, not only by this faith community, but the other faith communities he was in. Cultivated and nourished and strengthened by his friends and family, his colleagues. The eternal was given to him. And the eternal remains. And we see Roger. We see him as Christ's own, a sheep of Christ's own fold, a lamb of his flock, and a sinner of his redeeming. It is in our seeing the eternal, what is never taken away or lost, even in death, is God's love and grace for Roger. With the Apostle St. Paul, we too confess our belief. Because we know that God raised Jesus, God will raise us up too and bring us into God's presence and Roger's too. And I want to be perfectly clear here because it is of the utmost importance on what it is that St. Paul is saying when he says, bring us into God's presence. This isn't some heaven above or some place with pearly gates, but it is some place right here, right now, right in this room. It is that treasure that is in earthen jars. It is when we come to the table to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ that we see the eternal and that we come into the presence of God. Roger will be there with us this afternoon. He will be there with us this afternoon, and he will be there at every Eucharist that is ever celebrated. For that is what we say, that all those who have come before us join us at that table, and we see them because we see with the eyes of faith the eternal. We know that today we celebrate Roger's life, and we celebrate the Feast of Victory for our God For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. The eternal is here for us to see now. See it with your eyes of faith. See not only the Lamb who has begun his reign, but see all those for whom the Lamb of God was slain, whose blood set the people of God free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.